always hurt the one you love.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
We're going to do the windmills of your mind tomorrow. That's, we're going to change that. So, the lyrics are so beautiful and the song is beautiful. Yeah, I don't like, you know, the kind of modern music where everybody throws their hands up like they hail Hitler and yell and scream, and the music stinks because it isn't music. There this and there that, you know. It's just guttural. There's no music in the music that drive the kids crazy. I like beauty. So I like the lyrics to say something. I'm not particularly interested in love songs because ain't love. There's no such thing as a love song that's love. I don't think so. Except this one. This love song, I only hurt the ones I love. The ones you wouldn't hurt at all. That says something. It says everything. I can make everything out of that. And you've listened to me. It's been going for, I guess, several months out of it. So I'm running out of the juice with that, so I got something new. So I'm going to take Ravi in just a few minutes, and if you would like to listen, if you're listening in Boston, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe. It's a great time in the summer. In the winter, it gets a little bit dicey because darkness appears very quickly, and then they have to cut down their power. So you only get an hour and a half with me during the winter. But if you have a strong radio, if you're living up there in Boston, and that whole area is to get a good, really good radio, and you can just move your radio around and still pick it up. Or you can go to my website, and we have... The minute you go to the website, FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, it becomes a radio network. In other words, this is what you see. Roy Masters Live, Roy Masters Archives. So you can listen to me live at the appropriate time for 3 hours and call in 800-866-8883. And, or you can actually listen to the archives. And there are so many on the arc, maybe 100 or 200 old programs. And you can go across the country and listen to me for the whole distance of 3,000 miles across. And then some. As much as you want. Now, I do recommend that you do not try to remember, put to memory, anything I say. I'd rather you let it go through one ear and come out the other and wait till you hear something germane to you. Oh, what was that? I want to run that back. But I don't want you to study it. I don't want you to try to write it down. But I want you to, if you are able to, you know, to recall it, rewind it, if you like. I don't want you to remember it as words. It should be enough that you, oh, I see that, yes, that's the man. And then forget the word that brought you to the epiphany. The epiphany is, the epiphany does not need intellectual support. The fact that you get it, it's huge. The consequence of catching anything I say, wow, I never thought that before. You hear the way I said it. Wow, that's like a breath of fresh air. I never saw that. I could have gone through my whole life and never seen it. It's joy. It is a breath of fresh air. Let it be a breath of fresh air. Because then it will ruminate in in a spiritual way. In other words, all of a sudden your spiritual self will expand and you start to see more. And it's not Roy Masters that is always giving you an epiphany. It's a blade of grass or a dandelion thing floating its seed in the wind. It could be anything. A baby crying. And perhaps all those little epiphanies. It could be a light bulb. The other day it was a light bulb. I saw it flash. Like it was going to go out. I've seen that thousands of times. But this time, I could write a book on it.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, what will make this program magical is you having the courage to call me at 800-866-8883 and not worry about who recognizes your voice. All the famous people won't, they all listen. You have no idea how many people listen to my program. No, they don't want to admit it. My daughter, she went to movie studios, and everywhere she went, all the people who picked the bags up and all the people who worked there. You Roy Masters' daughter? And everybody said, hey! All listen. And many, everywhere, you go to anywhere in this country and people, you listen to Roy Masters? Yes. They stop me, they hear my voice. I go between Los Angeles and Grants Pass, stop at a restaurant, they hear my voice, they hear. It's everywhere. But not everybody gives anything. And especially rich people won't, because they have political connections. And Jesus was political the day he was born. I'm political in the sense the day I was born. I'm against wickedness. I know how to regulate wickedness, not only in yourself, but make other people keep it to themselves and drop dead or get better. Because you hardly ever have anybody calling me to fight me. Have you noticed it? Nobody calls to fight me. Not in 55 years. Sometimes they call him Quack Donald Duck. That's it. That's as far as it can get. And I challenge you. You have a problem with when I say that your emotions will kill you. And your emotions will kill other people too, because you make them emotional like you are. Then you're going to rescue them with emotions, but the different emotions are sweet emotions. It's a guilt emotion, and that only makes them worse. You become codependent. You have no idea. I beg you to take notice of next Sunday morning program. It is, if I can remember the title I gave it, It's pretty close. It says, danger, political codependence. In other words, it could go on a large scale and make you a slave. We forge the chains that we wear in life. Charles Dickens. Dictatorship naturally rises out of democracy, and the most aggravated form of tyranny and slavery out of the most extreme liberty. Plato. A good man is free, even if he's a slave. An evil man is a slave, even if he's a king. St. Augustine. Okay. So now I'm going to come to my friend here. Ravi, thank you for waiting for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. So what can I do you for?
I do the meditation.
Yes.
But I'm not able to see any lights as such.
All right. Okay, so I get it. I get it.
Just want some help.
All right. So how long you been doing this?
Almost a couple of months.
That's all. But you see something in it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I can feel the vibration on the floor.
All right. I'll tell you what you do.
Yeah.
Now listen carefully. And if this doesn't work, then I have one more piece of advice I will give you, but not now, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want you to close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you see black, right?
No, it's not completely black. There's some sort of a light.
Pardon?
There's some sort of a light. It is low in intensity.
Yeah, but in other words, there's no movement.
Yeah.
There's no movement. It's just you feel like that you're actually looking at a light on your eyelids, right?
Yeah, it's on the eyelid, yeah.
Yeah, you would say that. So you're not. So there's no pixels, or things that are moving.
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, let's let that go for a minute, because it's not completely black. Because I've experienced. I just want to tell you. I want to tell you a little story about me. Do you mind if I just and then I'll finish off with you? Is that okay with you if I tell you a little story?
Yeah.
So. I'm an expert in what I'm doing, and I left Houston after 7 years. I've discovered what we're doing. That was, 1960 when I arrived in Los Angeles and got on the air for the first time, 15 minutes. But we parked our car in our trailer in near Disneyland. In a place where there's lots of orange trees and everything like that. And I was laying down on the floor to go to sleep because all the bunks were held by my kids. My wife was on the floor and I was down there. And I meditated before I go to sleep. Just a little meditation. And suddenly, I got a shock of my life. Everything turned pitch black. I have never, ever seen black like that. It doesn't exist on this earth. It is so pitch black, it's void. And it was so black, it was scary. It was almost like I could look down and there was something waiting for me down there, but you couldn't see it, but you can sense it. It was waiting for me. And then all of a sudden, the words like this came. Oh, my God. I went away. It was over. It was an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that is pitch black. You don't have pitch black, do you?
No.
Okay. So that's good. But not good enough yet. I want you to close your eyes now. Mm-hmm. I want you to be aware of the finger of your first hand. I just want you to be aware. You put your hand by your side and just give it attention. Let me give you an example. Be aware of your nose. Now, I just made you aware of that. I want you to be aware of your nose. And if you become aware of your nose knows it. And it will start to feel a little bit heavy or it will tingle. You know what I mean? You'll just know it's there. And after a while, it will bother you if you keep on looking at it. You've got to be careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think of swallowing. Okay, now try not to swallow. You've given that attention, something's happening. See, because after a while, the very suggestion of it, since I mentioned it, it's triggered something. So that in a few minutes, you're going to swallow whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
See that? Got it. So It's also something you do most of the time, but you don't notice it. Now, here it is. This is something you don't normally do. You do not give attention to a part of your body, except sex, of course. But this is not sex. This is sex is compulsive. This has nothing to do with compulsion. This is to do with the willingness to be aware of yourself in a certain way. So if you will just keep your eyes closed and let that light be there, dim, and give your attention to the finger of the first hand and let it and give your attention, your spiritual attention, so that you know that your finger of your first hand is there. And if you do that, just give it attention with no effort, the finger will almost talk to you as if to say it will tingle, as if to be happy, as if as if you've given it some attention, like a kid giving attention to mom, morning attention to mom, and getting it.
Yeah.
So your finger will tingle, and that is interesting because you're sharing whatever is in you. There's so many things going on as a result of that, and I can't tell it to you because I'll just spoil what I want to say. But right now, it's sufficient that you be aware of your finger tingling, and then when you feel it tingle, move it the attention to include, if possible, or in isolation, meaning just by itself, move the attention to that, hopefully to include the both fingers tingling. And then the second, do you feel the tingle? The slight,
yeah,
is a very slight tingle. And
yeah,
it's letting, the body, the fingers are letting you know, oh, I'm so glad you're paying attention to me. And do you understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's meditation. And you just be aware of that, your forehead, and that little light. Leave that alone. Something, because there's a light there. The tingling, though, is meaning that energy is being added to you from within. You're giving attention to your body, like giving attention to a kid who needs attention. And that will spread to your whole body if you do it right. And that is a new energy coming from within and not of this world. That is energy from not of this world. And this energy will counter the stresses of life and make you brave,
okay,
and heal your illnesses and diseases.
Okay, thank you.
Is that sufficient?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I'm glad. That's a very good question. See. So, he waited a half an hour to get that question. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm quite capable of carrying this program for 2 weeks, 12 hours a day if I have to. And without effort, I can go on and on and on. But that isn't exactly what I want. It's not exactly what is good for me, and it's not exactly what's good for you. What makes this program really effective and enables me to give in detail some things you would never hear except for the caller inquiring and an engagement with me. Would you please consider, this is not good for you to let me pontificate. Yeah, pontificate was a good word. For an hour or 2 hours, which often happens. I can go on for forever. And I love saying it because I know you're listening. But you will get the most out of it, especially ordinary people who are not well known, because that could be a political problem for you. I get it. But if it's, and even sending money to me might be a political problem too. If you want to give me $1 million, it might be, you know, get out that you did it. So I can understand rich people not being able to do these things. They have business. They have to be neutral. You can't listen to an upstart like me. The number is 800-866-8883 if you're not upstarts. if you're not an upstart, or if you are an upstart, you can call me. Then I can start up. Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, hello, everyone. Well, I'm all alone on the telephone again. So, let me see what we should do. Actually, I'm looking at some pamphlets here. I got a booklet here that I wrote. And I gave a lecture. I was invited to the, oh, it was many years ago, such a long time ago. And Mercedes McCambridge, it's a famous movie star in her in those days, and several other important people. I was invited to the media. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was all the media, and I was a speaker. And I put this booklet on the table, as did Mercedes Cambridge, I think her name was, and then Art Linkletter. I think that's it, but I can remember that. That's a long time ago. He came to tell everybody one of his kids committed suicide, and he came to say that if you have kids, this is what he was going to say. He was going to say, if you, actually he said it. And I think it was Art Linkletter. It's such a long time ago. It's just vague in my mind. These things disappear. But I do remember it, and I'm sure, almost sure it's true, and forgive me if it's the wrong name. But he was going to say that if your kid commits suicide, it's not your fault. And I stood up when it was my turn, all hell break loose. And I wasn't even mentioned next day. It was so scary. And I could see when the reporters that come in, the media coming in, looking at this booklet, Emotion, the Mother of Addiction. If you go to my website right now, you'll see me tweeting, and it begins, Emotion, the Mother of Addiction. And maybe I should read a little bit of this to you. Emotion drugs us into believing that emotion is right and natural. And that is why we cannot question our emotional way of life any more than a drug addict can or will question his support. Some people can successfully get away with existing emotionally, adding emotion to emotion, but keep from seeing their mistakes through emotions, even the errors arising from emotion itself, even the sicknesses thereof. These people can manage to see what they want to see and hear what they want to hear without ever touching drugs. But some of us can't. For those kind of people, the drug is making you a slave of their approval. It's power. Their drug is power. And therefore they can vent and talk to their employees cruelly, who turn around and take it. The frustration out in their wives, the wives take it out in their kids, and so on and so forth. So they're able to control people, get more work out of them, putting stress on them and causing them to get sick, to produce more than it's natural to produce. Okay. So there are people like that. But other people, although they may be just as badly caught up in an emotional way of life, are a little bit too sensitive and aware to be able to play the game of emotions with the same gusto. They may not know what is bugging them, but they know something is. Of course, it's emotion, but they don't know that's it. They think it's normal. And they get angry with themselves, of course, and that is also emotion. And so adding emotion to emotion, even though nobody is there to emotion them and to make them worse, they make themselves worse. But they still don't want any part of it. They don't want to be. They're getting worse. And they try to be better. And they make a goal to be more perfect. And more fair, more just. people take advantage of that. And that there's an end to that, see. So because emotion acts as an opiate on our minds, it's hypnotic. I'm adding a few words, if you don't mind. Because emotion acts as an opiate on our minds, we rarely see that our habit of reacting emotionally to every person and thing and circumstance is the major cause of all of our personal and interpersonal problems. We are aware only of the anxiety and the pain it produces in us and how desperately we crave to be relieved of these symptoms. When something appears to provide us with that relief, we identify it as being something good for us. Of course, it doesn't even occur to us to ask whether it is the real root of the problem, but it seems like the cure of the problem, but it is the greater cause. Pleasure, sensations, excitement, lots of sex, lots of drinks, lots of music, anything, see. So addiction may begin with some people with some simple simple remedy, just like the gentleman that called today. He had a broken back. He had a serious pain, and he began to resent the pain, and the pain got worse. This gentleman's called me 2 or 3 times, and finally he gets to see that resenting the pain increases the pain. The inability to bear it graciously and calmly makes the pain go away. It makes the pain do its job, and makes all the little critters inside you that do the repair work on your bone or whatever it is, and it goes away. But if you resent the pain, the pain gets worse. And so does the healing slow down. And your character suffers, because as you add resentment to something more serious, like a broken back or something, that it inconveniences you. And the inconvenience now becomes the source of more resentment, as if resentment could fix everything. But that's like playing God. An angry God, hoping that their anger will make it better. Oh, how much more grievous is the consequence of anger than its cause. Okay? Oh, dear. So, as I said, addiction may begin with some simple... You can see why when the reporters picked this up, it dropped it like a dog, like a hot potato. I'm not so sure you like to hear this. Is anybody enjoying this or not? Is anybody understanding themselves a little better? Better? I'm sorry, I don't want to say better, because that's American. Okay, let me continue. Addiction may begin with some simple remedy like candy, aspirin. Yeah, that's actually true. A doctor's prescription. Or just a little drink to be social. Or going out with the wrong people, mixing with the wrong people. They can contaminate you, because you should see that they're wrong people and should avoid them. Or you should be such a light lightning rod that you can make them better, but they can't make you worse. That's what my grandchildren can do. They can mingle with the worst of people, and in their natural strength, which I've helped to shape in them, they know how to deal with the worst of people without becoming the problem that would otherwise be in them by association. Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, welcome again. I've got a few minutes break here, and may I suggest that if you have a problem that no one can fix, why would you hold back? I know you're listening because I have 150 stations, and 150 stations, there's got to be a reason for them to have me on. I know that. A very famous person told me, a talk show host himself. He says, when people don't call, you either got no audience or they want to hear you. It's a listening program. I'm afraid I represent the latter. But it's much better for you, especially if you are a not well-known person. Just a voice in the crowd. And you call me. And you just talk to me about drugs or whatever illness you might have. Whatever mental problem you've got. And what kind of drugs you take. And what's wrong with your wife or whatever it is. Whatever it is. Or you have a disease like cancer. I can tackle that pretty well. About a month ago, 2 months ago, a lady in the media, a well-known lady in the media, my son travels and he's in the car business. You actually see him on 9 o'clock in the morning on ABC, whenever there's some kind of big show of cars. He unveils the cars. And he doesn't use them on his own without, you know, the support from his dad. He wanted to be his own person. I like that. It's perfectly good. It's a stage name. But he meets all kinds of very wealthy people. He's very, very popular in the business. And this he sends people to me from time to time. This lady, she has cancer. And he says, why don't you call my dad? She did. And I told her to go to listen to the 7-minute meditation. And she did. And about 3 weeks later, she called and said, my cancer's gone. I said, I know. And she was delightful. And we've had connection to each other a couple of times. And I asked my son, how's she doing? She says, she's still fine. But she's afraid to write about it. I have a book coming out. Somebody's written a book. And I won't tell you what it is yet. But it has a few pages on yours truly. And it's an old friend of mine that has written a book about... Well, I can't tell you what it is. But I'll tell you when the time comes. Because he asked me not to say what it is. I find it a very interesting book. It's about much the same things I'm talking about to you. But he's quite a well-known person. But I don't mind mentioning when the book comes out. And he doesn't mind me being associated in the manner of speaking this, my friend.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So I'm talking about addiction, and I've resorted to, I don't think this booklet, which has how many pages to it? 28 pages. I don't think this book is available yet on my website, because we do have booklets. And I think there's a place where you click on booklets when you see all the different options. And you click on booklets. I think that's the word they use. I haven't looked at it myself. I haven't looked at my own website lately. And a whole bunch of booklets come up. and old editions of New Dimensions. And these booklets precede the magazines. These booklets begin in about 1970. And then you had mimeographed pages before that. It was a bit crude, but it became booklets. And this is a booklet called Emotion, the Mother of Addiction. And I've been reading from it just a little bit and to keep me on track, but I'm ad-libbing around what I'm reading. So I said, addiction may begin with some simple remedy like candy, aspirin. Let me stop there for a minute. We're having a birthday party. And one of my grandsons says, just a minute, Grandpa, I want to get an aspirin for a headache. I said, hey, just a minute, come back a minute. I want you to be aware of your headache and wonder and ask yourself what could have caused it. But just be aware of it. He said, okay. Half an hour later, he comes back. Hey, my headache went away, Grandpa, without taking the pill. How's that? Well, maybe you realize, you know, there's a little irritation there somewhere. Some thought. Yeah, see? Now, have you ever seen the commercials? I don't see them much anymore, but it used to be a, let me see if I can recall it properly. I'm not very good at recall because my recall is intuitive. I can go on for years without a break, in a manner of speaking. But I have very bad memory for everyday things. I mean, if you introduce me to you, and you introduce me, I forget you right away. Sorry. Most things disappear into the past. What stays with me is meaning. Now, all I deal is with meaning. That's all I need. I don't need a memory except to be able to speak. But then it speaks through me. I'm not speaking when I'm speaking. I'm being spoken through. When you're angry, you're not speaking either. You are spoken through the dark side from emotions. So those who emote you, who I don't know if that's a correct term, who intimidate you, upset you, or whatever it is that has upset you and is bundled up inside you, and you pushed it down, it comes out automatically with all kinds of lousy bad words upon an innocent person who didn't do anything. Or your situation will happen and you get angry right away and lots of bad words come out towards your children, whatever it is, you get impatient and out comes a flow of words. It sounds like you, but it's not the same thing. The same flow of words coming out of me has no anger in it. There's something else in it. It's counter-anger. So this is, I'm not reading now. So if you're listening to me right now, what I'm saying to you is about emotions, and then everything that's connected to it is absolutely correct. 100%. And I challenge any human being, any person, any psychiatrist, doctor, anybody, to say, "Tain't so." Emotion is the mother of addiction. That's exactly right. And you say, well, you're not human if you are not emotion. Was it Mr. Spock, the Vulcan? He is more human than the other guys because they had emotions. They didn't want to put it the other way around because it's too close to reality. It wouldn't be so popular. So you gave the emotionlessness to the Vulcan, right? Was the Vulcan? Star Wars, whatever it is. I can't remember. It's such a long time ago. And you have good memories for that, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you? So, Captain Kirk, right? That's all I can remember. And some of those, yeah, what was it? Star Trek. There it is. Yeah, that's it. I got it. It used to be a series. And some of them were very, very good, making some very good points, very well written. But emotion belonged to the Vulcan. And so therefore, no, it didn't belong to the Vulcan. The Captain Kirk was emotional and made him human. That's not true. It will just dehumanize you. And the Vulcan is more correct. It's how you more you should be, logical, clear, to the point, intuitive.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
My producer, my friend Paul Owen, who listens to me and makes sure I get all the information I need when I flubber up a little bit. Emotion, the Mother of Addiction, is available on FHU Shopping Cart. Go to FHU.com, click on shop. Now, I didn't know that. I didn't know. I thought I had the only one. Okay, so next time I pick up a booklet and start reading, you need to read this booklet. You can download it. What is it, $5? It's 28 pages plus the cover. And it will be a booklet if you use good paper. And then put staples in it and print it both sides. You'll have a booklet. And you put it in your pocket. So let me do some more reading from this then. Okay? So, I'm not reading now again here. I'm coming back to my natural way of speaking without reading. You could tell the difference when I read and when I'm not. You've seen the aspirin commercials. I forget what the aspirin commercial belonged to. But it shows a picture of a mother being impatient with the children. So you get getting stressed and taking an aspirin. And then it said the same thing with a schoolteacher, man. He also got upset. And then he took an aspirin. And he felt better. You will. That's the beginning of addiction. I don't take any aspirins. I don't get any headaches. I'm not emotional. But if I got a headache, it would be some infection. I got that. But even then, I don't get headaches just the same. Headache is something on its own. It's telling you something. My mother died from sick headaches. The sick headaches were so bad. I was only 15 at the time and she died. How old was it? No, it wasn't that. She died when my son was born. My first son was born about 6 months. So she came over on the Queen Mary and she dropped dead in the motel that we were in because I was traveling and doing business with my wife, traveling, and dropped dead like that. But she always had sick headaches, and those sick headaches could be terrible and they can kill you. But what I try to get her to see is the reason for it, but I wasn't, when I was young, and I knew she had those sick headaches, which eventually killed her. I couldn't really explain it then because I was too young. But I knew that it was something going wrong with her and suspected it was anger. But she's not the kind of person that would be angry. She's very simple and sweet. And she's lively and friendly. And so you couldn't tell that she had a lot of anger inside her. You couldn't tell. People could cover these things up and bear it but resent it and then take medicine for it and then become addicted to the medicine. And, well, then the result is what I said in the beginning of the end of the last program, last hour. is that when you begin to hate the doctor, you begin to hate the pain, see, and you keep taking more aspirins. And in those days, there was, we didn't have enough money to, my mother didn't have enough money to take drugs or anything. They weren't available, you could, not easily available in those days. And, but she just, she couldn't bear it, she couldn't bear it, she couldn't bear it, and then it killed her. And she resented it. I know that the reason why she, the days get worse, because she resented it. And then she took aspirins, but they didn't manage to do more aspirins. And she probably took more aspirins than she should, because I couldn't watch all the time. I'm saying to you that you could start with some simple remedy, or as in the program today, in the first hour, the gentleman broke his some part of his body's anatomy, his back's, and everything went wrong. His wife died. Things didn't happen the way they should. All these things, the little resentments and the pain was so great. But the reason why the pain that broke his back, the reason why it got worse is because as he eventually owned up to it, is he was resenting it. Resenting and so they had to take more and more medicine. And the doctors, what can they do? They've got to help relieve the pain of the victim. And the more the more he gave the gentleman that I'm talking about, the more he gave the pill, the more he needed the pill to kill the pain. And so, therefore, the pain gets worse because the solution to the problem never ends. And you become addicted to. And then you begin to resent the doctor secretly, which was the first time he called. And he realized he was resenting the doctor and didn't know who he was. And very similar things happened to my mother too. She was alone in England, and then she missed her sons, and she come over, and then she began, now, then when she was with her sons, she missed her friends. And when she went back on the Queen Mary, and to her friends, when she went back to her friends, she missed her sons. And backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, she died in a miserable way, and her happiness dropped dead like that. Because the pain, the anger, the angst, all going on inside her head, and I wasn't really able to help her. I wasn't there for her because I had not come to the knowledge I'm sharing with you. All right, we'll be right back. So let me go back to emotion, mother of addiction, which is available. Emotions, mother of addiction is available on FHU shopping cart. $5. Go to FHU.com, click on shop. See? All right. So addiction may begin with some simple remedy like candy, aspirin, a doctor's prescription, or just a little drink to be sociable. From then on, it's a matter of degree. And we go down one step at a time, adjusting to each level as we come to it. No questions asked, we all rationalize all of them. Our pills or our snorts are our friends, and they make us feel falsely secure. A little is good, a little more is better yet, so our taste for them increases as we spend more and more time gratifying taste, looking for gratifying tastes, and problems begin to pile up as a result in other areas of our lives, and we may turn to hard drugs to escape them eventually. Drug addiction begins with emotion. Emotion is the mother of all addictions. It is the original drug that dulls the mind to reality and leads us to make foolish decisions one after another in our blindness. Emotion blinds you to see reality. Another reality pops up and looks good, and it's not. It's always some kind of thing that drugs us and hurts us. And we look for love in all the wrong places. And it rises to greet us and to kill us. When we allow ourselves to become emotionally excited or upset, the two extremes, we cannot see clearly. It blinds us to reality. And perhaps that's part of the problem. So we get angry so we don't have to see. The anger blocks. The reality is trying to show it. And it makes us angry at God, in a manner of speaking. So we blunder our way through life. Even if we manage to see that we have been caught up in a world of emotion, it's still our world. And we don't know how to stop. It's a long, long way, a long, hard chore to get off. I'll be back in a second. No.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Our program number is K8383. This is this hour. Operators are standing by if you need some help till 11 p.m. tonight, West Coast time. 800-877-3227. That's it. 1-800-877-3227. And I have just finished one half a page of Emotion, a Mother of Addiction. And I do, please give a donation to the Foundation of Human Understanding. If you want to go to fhu.com/, that is it. That is the place you go, fhu.com/donate. That leads you to a page where you can support my program, please. These things are difficult to say. I've written hundreds and thousands of booklets. And I didn't know this was there. And I've only just said, listen, let me just read it to you. When we've been turned on emotionally, we lack the control to turn off again. And any counter pressure produces an excruciating agony in us, as though we were driving with the brakes on. Drugs calm us down and assure us that all is well, but we aren't, simply because we remain subject to the same emotional pressures, with or without the drug. The more we depend on drugs, the weaker we get, until finally we need both to turn on us, and it turns us off. Beginning with emotion and going on to the prescription at the pharmacy and ending up with hard drugs, all turn-ons and turns-off, uppers and downers, keep us from honest self-examination whereby the cure might be found. They keep us from the right answer. Even if we're inclined to cry out for help, this wrong answer always succeeds in getting in the way. Even if it's the doctor. You got bipolar. And the doctor says, you've got to take this medicine for the rest of your life, otherwise you'll be in unhappy. This is a disease. No, it's not. It's two extremes of emotion. So when one extreme, being angry, creates guilt, it turns into being loving, looking for approval, and behaving in such a way as to get the approval to make yourself feel better than you deserve. Whether it's just compliments or drugs. The compliment is a drug. It's a lie of love. You'll always draw the wrong people because you can't face yourself. But the trouble is, you're not yourself lately. I'm not reading from it now. But they keep us, I now read, they keep us from the right answer. The emotions do, the drugs, and the dope pusher, which could be the doctor. And you have a love-hate relationship with him, and you can't give it up. So even though we're inclined to cry out for help, this wrong answer somebody will always come up with the wrong answer, either with pity and friendship and a dope pusher, and then a pharmaceutical prescription, not any different, because it doesn't attend to the real problem called emotion. Because emotion and all forms of excitement, of pleasures, it fills the cavity where God can flow. You see that? It fills up the cavity. I don't know what other word to use. It fills it up with a sense of pleasure and relief from conscience. That's what you're being relieved from, is the conscience that's following you all the way to the grave and causing you to have one sickness and one miserable situation after another until it's unbearable and there's suicide. Or you drive people to suicide because you're taking it out on other people. Or you're helping them. You're trying to help others in a roundabout way of helping yourself. So if you think you can love people better and love them and be nice to them so they can feel better, you're only making them worse. Psychiatry, this is beyond psychiatry. Psychiatry is not fit, and medicine is not fit. It hasn't got what it takes to make you, to help you cure, be cured of all your miseries and all your sufferings, which arise from the first anger you had towards your parents. That's why it says, honor your mother. I'm not reading anymore. Honor your mother and father. The days may be long on the land the Lord God giveth thee, and extending the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, but showing mercy for those who keep my commandments. So it's suffering. It is to one man sin and death through sin comes into the world, and it's systemic. It is exponentially systemic. It spreads to the whole human race of every race and color and creed, so that you are caught in a quagmire of misery and suffering to the point of murder, wanting to murder. How many of you, come on now, how many of people have wanted to murder somebody? You get so angry. I would say 9 out of 10 of you will put your hand up and say, yes, I felt that. I had to suppress it. And you suppress it, you take drugs and pills. Or you put on a demeanor. You find a way to be so nice that people love you and not hate you. But then they take advantage of you anyway. You can't stop the emotions. Neither do you want to stop them, because it puts to sleep the God that's been following you all the way to the grave. You understand? You got the wrong God giving you absolution.
Your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Well, please, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, are you my friend? Did I help you today? I know you didn't call because you don't want to hear your voice on the radio, I get it. But if you do call, if you are embattled with some kind of problem and it's not working, then wait till tomorrow and give me a call. Or call my office, 800-877-3227. You can call all the way to 11 o'clock tonight, West Coast time. Support my program. Go to fhu.com/donate. Thank you very much. Hour coming up.